Baladevi Vidyabhushan Prabhu's verse of Navaprameya and also Madhvacharya's Navaprameya. What is the difference and what is the similarity? And then we had a small discussion on about the first one, that is Amneha Prahatattvam. And yesterday in the first session we talked about Amneha Prahatattvam in a very elaborate way and discussed that how Achintya Ikalu Bhava, those things which are transcendental or which are beyond our imagination or thought, cannot be understood by our arguments. They can be only understood by Vedic literatures. Vedic literatures, wherever Anuman and Shabda coincides or agree with Shabda or Vedic literatures, we can accept them. So in this way we concluded Amneha Prahatattvam. And then yesterday we talked about the Lord, the Supreme Lord, Hari Paramam, Hariha Paramam, Hari the Supreme Lord. While discussing about that, we saw how Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that Hari, who is described, is none other than Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna Sarupa. And for that, a lot of things are explained about how qualities of Radha and Krishna, Krishna's qualities, the 64 qualities in Krishna which are full. And then we started about discussing about Shakti. While discussing about Shakti, there are some philosophers who say Shakti, Lord doesn't have Shakti. They say the impersonal Brahman doesn't have Shakti, but the impersonal Brahman, when it accepts, assumes the form of Ishvara by the effect of Maya, it has Shakti. So now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very elaborate explanation of how all the features of the Lord has Shakti, and especially he derives it very very wonderful way by quoting these words, Aishwarya Samagrascha. There are six qualities we understand, out of which the real body of the qualities is beauty and strength, Aishwarya, that is the opulence, riches, and the third one is fame. These three are the limbs. Fame has got two sarupa for it, that is jnana and vairagya. And these jnana and vairagya, they are the features of Brahman. So Shakti, Brahman also has Shakti. And then these two other things, that is Aishwarya and the riches and strength or the power, teja, these two manifest the super soul. So super soul also has Shakti. And we saw that how Krishna's beauty has two, sweetness and opulence. That is sweetness when it is manifest, it is Krishna. When opulence is manifest, it is Narayana. So all these points we discussed. And then we came to the understanding that how Krishna, Shaktis are manifest in three levels. That is Chit, Jeev Chit Shakti, Jeev Shakti, and there is the Maya Shakti. From Maya Shakti, the material world is manifest. From Jiva Shakti, all the living entities are manifest. And from the Chit Shakti, the spiritual world is manifest. So these are the points which we understood yesterday. And then the third aspect, rather the fourth aspect now, after scriptures, the Supreme Lord is Hari. Second aspect is the Supreme Lord is Hari. The third aspect is the Shakti. And the fourth aspect is Rasa, Rasabdhim. So to enter into Rasabdhim, one question was asked by Vrajanath. He asked one question, who is Radharani then? So we'll start from that particular discussion where Babaji Maharaj or Vrajanath, he asked, which of Lord Krishna's potency is Radhika? In the printing, there is a small mistake. There, Babaji is written. There, you have to write Vrajanath. And Vrajanath place, you have to write Babaji. That's all. Okay. Which of Krishna's potency is Radhika? So, we have done a little bit of that, but yesterday we were in a little bit hurry. I wanted to complete the entire section yesterday only, but so we could not do. So, we'll start from here. Which of Lord Krishna's potency is Radhika? That is the question. When this question was asked, then Babaji explains, Lord Krishna is a master of potencies in his perfect original form. Srimati Radhika is a potency in its perfect original form. So Krishna is a master of potencies and Srimati Radhika is the potency in its perfect form, in its original form. Srimati Radhika is the original manifestation of Lord's internal spiritual potency. As musk is not different from its fragrance and fire is not different from its power to burn, so Radha and Krishna, who enjoy the nectar of transcendental pastimes together, are eternally different and not different from each other. From the internal potency, Radhika, Sri Radha, are manifest the three potencies, Chit, Jiva and Maya Shakti. Now just see here, a very interesting concept. Now, when Lord's potencies are discussed, till now we discussed about Chit Shakti, and then Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. Now here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorically says that Srimati Radhika is the primal potency of the Lord from whom these three Shaktis are manifest. So even Krishna doesn't manifest these three potencies. If these three potencies are manifest by Srimati Radhika herself, and then Sri Radha are manifest the three potencies, Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. These three are seen to be different kinds of Kriya Shakti. The Chit Shakti is also called Antaranga Shakti. Jiva Shakti is called Tatastha Shakti. Maya Shakti is also called Bahiranga Shakti. Now we have many places get confused between Antaranga Shakti and Srimati Radhika. Now there is a slight difference. Antaranga Shakti is actually Chit Shakti. Srimati Radhika gives all her, invests all her potencies in that. So in this way, there is a categorization between Radhika and Antaranga Shakti. As we go further, we will become more clear about it. Let us see how. Although it is one, the Lord's internal potency assumes these three forms in order to act in different ways. So when we say Srimati Radhika is Antaranga Shakti, it is one sense true, because she assumes the form of Antaranga Shakti. Now, all the eternal opulence of the internal potency are fully manifest in Chit Shakti. So, all the opulences, all the potencies of Srimati Radhika are manifest in Chit Shakti. So, in one sense, if you want to say, Srimati Radhika, she is the personification or the Adhishtar Devi of the Antaranga Shakti. And in the Antaranga Shakti or the Chit Shakti, Srimati Radhika invests all her potencies. And an atomic fragment of each of her opulence is present in the Jiva Shakti. And a perverted reflection is then present in the Maya Shakti. The internal potency is also manifest in three other ways. These three manifestations called Haladini, Sandini, Samvit, as they are described in these words of Dashamur. Now, from this time, from here onwards, the rasabdhim, that subject starts. How Krishna is full of rasa, raso vaisaha. So for that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he quotes the, first one is all the list of 10. Second one is about, second verse is about Amnaya. Third verse is about Krishna is Paratattva. And the fourth one is about Krishna is Shakti, is Shaktiman, Sarva Shaktim. And the fifth one is this. The fourth one is this. Savai, this verse. Savai haladinyaha pranayavikritir ladana rataha tata samachit shakti prakatita raho bhavar rasitaha taya shir sandhinya krita vishadata dhama vinichaye rasambhodo magno vraja rasa vilasi vijayate. So, vraja rasa vilasi vijayate. Vijayate means let there be glory. Glory to whom? Rasambhodo magno vraja rasa vilasi vijayate. Rasambhodo magnaha. Krishna is always engrossed in rasambhodi. Rasambhodha means in the ocean of rasa. Rasa vilasi, vraja rasa vilasi vijayate. Let there be glories to Krishna who is always drowned in the ocean of rasa. Now how is he experiencing that rasa? That is explained as ladanarataha. He is completely engrossed in ladanarata. Savai haladinyaha pranayavikritir. Savai haladinyaya pranayavikritir. So, who is glorious to Lord Krishna, who enjoys nectar pastimes in Raja, who plays in a nectar of ocean of transcendental mellow, who enjoys the feelings of ecstatic love brought by Haladini Shakti, who tastes the nectar of the confidential love brought by the Samvit Shakti, and who resides in the pure transcendental abode created by Sandini Shakti. So now you have three Shaktis here. One is Haladini, now is other one is Samvit, other is Sandini. Haladini, Samvit and Sandini. What does Krishna do? What does these Shaktis do? Haladini Shakti gives pleasure to Krishna. And Samvit Shakti, it increases the bhavas, the rasas between Krishna and devotees. That is what Samvit Shakti does. And Sandini Shakti, it creates the paraphernalia required for the pastimes, like the spiritual abode, like you have different trees, the Govardhan, Yamuna, all these things are manifest by the Sandini Shakti. So as we go further, we'll have a better idea. Let's see. Thus the Lord's internal potency manifests three features: Ladini, Samvit, Sandini and Samvit. The Ladini Shakti, which is in its complete form, is Radhika, the daughter of Rishabhanu, brings transcendental bliss to Krishna. The form of the highest ecstatic love, Mahabhava, is a very dear and pleasing to Lord Krishna. She expands into many other forms. She expands as eight principal gopis, Ashtasakis, number one, and Priyasakis, very dear gopis, and then Narmasakis, the gopis speaking joking words, and then gopis dear than their own life, the Pranasakis, and then gopis most dear gopis, Parama Prishtasakis. These four kinds of gopis are manifested from different kinds of devotional service. These gopis are eternally perfect souls who reside in the spiritual world of Raja. Samvit Shakti manifests the different relationship of people of Raja. The Sandini Shakti manifests the land, water, village, forest, hills, pastime places. All these things, they are all manifest by the Sandini Shakti. The servants, the cows and all other residents of Raja, their spiritual forms and the paraphernalia used in their pastimes, pushed by the feelings of ecstatic love brought by Haladini Shakti, Lord Krishna is always filled with transcendental bliss. The activities of love are brought by Samvit Shakti. Activities like Krishna acting as gopis by playing the flute, attracting the gopis by playing the flute, his herding the cows, his rasa dance pastimes, perform all these activities, Lord Krishna takes shelter of Samvit Shakti. Always swimming in the nectar of transcendental mellow, Lord Krishna enjoys pastimes in the land of Raja, a land manifested by Sandini Shakti. Of all spiritual abodes, land of Raja is the best. So now we have a very clear idea of what is Samvit, Sandini and Haladini. Haladini gives pleasure to Krishna. Samvit brings up emotions between devotees and Krishna. And Sandini gives the platform on which Krishna does the pastimes. That's all. Now, Vajnathas, that is where we entered into this point. You have said that the internal potencies manifest as Haladini, Samvit and Sandini potencies. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is Jiva Shakti, and a perverted reflection of the internal potency is Maya Shakti. Please tell me how Haladini, Samvit and Sandini potencies work in Jiva Shakti and Maya Shakti. Now, yesterday, that is where we actually entered into a nice conversation. Okay. In the Jiva Shakti, which is an atomic fragment of the internal potency, a fragmental part of these three potencies are present. So, fragmental part of these three potencies are present. Their Haladini Shakti is manifested at eternal bliss of impersonal Brahman. So, there is realization of Brahman, Eka Antiki Sukha, I am not this body, I am spirit soul. So, there is some kind of bliss which comes. This bliss the bliss coming from not suffering. The enjoyment of not suffering. Like for example, you are sick. And now your sickness goes away. Then you also have some, how are you feeling? Oh, we say fine. It is not that you are eating rasgulla and you are eating something and you are feeling pleasure. There is no positive pleasure. It is just the pleasure of not suffering, that's all. So that Haradhani Shakti is naturally manifest in a jiva only to that extent. But when the jiva comes in contact with Krishna and reciprocates with Krishna, the Haradhani Shakti, it manifests completely in that jiva also, because in transaction with Krishna. By itself, jiva is blissful. We say the soul is blissful. What is the bliss which experience? This is the thing. There, Haradhani Shakti manifests in eternal bliss in impersonal Brahman. Samvit Shakti is manifested in the individual soul's awareness of the impersonal Brahman. And then there is Sandini Shakti is manifested as atomic spiritual form of the spiritual soul. Like, you can ask, what is the soul made up of? Some people ask this question. What is the soul made up of? The soul is made up of Sandini Shakti. So when the Sandini Shakti, it makes up the soul. That Chitkana. That is what the soul made up of. Now some people say the soul is made up of Sat, Chit and Ananda. No, it is not so. The soul is made up of Chit, Chitkana. And the nature of the soul is eternity. That is Sat. And the essential nature of the soul is Ananda. So that is how we should say. We just cannot say soul is made up of Sat, Chit and Ananda. The soul is actually made up of Chit. So that is what is here. Now you wish to know about the individual spirit soul. That is how you should understand them. In Maya Shakti, the Haradhani Shakti is manifest as material happiness. Samvit Shakti is made up of material knowledge. And Sandini Shakti is manifest as 14 material worlds, material existence. That we also yesterday understood Sattva, Rajas, Tama. How they are perverted reflection. Now here a very careful thought should be paid. The Chit Shakti's reflection is Maya Shakti. Whereas Jiva is what? Chit Shakti is partial manifestation. It is not reflection. If it is reflection, then living entity would be different. It will be material. Like Krishna says, apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidhime param. How the living entity is superior? Why the material energy is inferior? Because the material energy is reflection of the spiritual energy, whereas the living entity is a partial manifestation of the spiritual energy of Chit Shakti. So this has to be kept in mind. If this is kept in mind, then this will be very clear. Now, if their activities are so easily explained, why are the Lord's potencies called inconceivable? The question is, okay, you explained it so graphically and very nicely, but why it is called inconceivable? That is the next question. Babaji says, when they are considered one by one, each feature is easily understood. However, when all the features are considered together, they are beyond understanding. In the material world, mutually contradictory qualities do not exist together in the same place, for they would negate each other. So it is the inconceivable nature of Lord Krishna's potency that in the spiritual world, all mutually contradictory qualities exist happily together, and the result is very beautiful and pleasing. Here I would like to make a small point here. Very interesting point. This word achintya, inconceivable. Until unless this word achintya is used, you cannot explain anything from the Vedic literatures. Especially the achintya bheda abheda. Especially if you see, there is one philosophy of the Nimbarkas. What is Nimbarkas philosophy? Nobody knows. Dvaitadvaita. Nimbarkas philosophy is Dvaitadya. Now, Dvaitadvaita, Abheda, Abheda. Any difference is there? Think. What makes it different? Why? Where does Baladev Devashan Prabhu explains that we are distinct from Nimbarkas? How? The Nimbarakas, their philosophy is Kevala Advaita Advaita. Means, there is distinction also and there is oneness also. Dvaita means distinction. And there is Advaita means oneness. So there is distinction and also there is oneness. And their distinction and oneness is Kevala. Now, the question may be raised to the Nimbarakas. When you say that there is distinction, at the same time there is oneness, isn't it? That means whatever qualities are present in the Lord, they are present in the living entity in a minute quantity. But if whatever qualities are there in the living entity are present in the Supreme Lord in a bigger quantity, it means the same, isn't it? If you put the thing other way around, if you say whatever qualities are there in the Lord, is there in the living entity in a minute quantity, then the reverse, the converse is also true. In the sense that whatever qualities are there in the living entity are present in the Supreme Lord, you know? But if that is the case, these four defects are there in the living entity? Then they should be present in the Lord in a very big quantity. So that is the reason that Nimbarakas, they could not explain certain concepts. Of course, this is a part of the four Vaishya Sampradaya seminar, but I'm just bringing it because this point will be more highlighted when you get this thing, word achintya. Why achintya has been put? That is what is explained here. In the material world, everything is contradictory to each other. You cannot just put two things together in the material world. It's impossible. And that is why some people say, why there are so many family problems and quarrels and all these things? Because it's this material world. You cannot put two things together. It is impossible. Everything is contradictory. But in the spiritual world, two contradictory things can coexist at the same time. And that is why the word achintya has to be used. Without using the word achintya, it is impossible to explain anything in the Vedas. Because the Vedas give a very great and elaborate description how the living entity and the Supreme Lord are one. And at the same time, they give an elaborate description of how the living entity and the Supreme Lord are both are different, distinct. Now, how do you harmonize them? Only when you use this word, achintya. That is why this achintya is a very important word in our philosophy. Okay? Let us see. Further. In Lord Krishna, the qualities of having a form and being formless, being all-pervading, having a form present at one place only, being active and inactive, being unborn and being the son of Nanda Maharaj, being worshipable and Lord and being a Gopa, being all-knowing and having limited knowledge possessed by a human being, having qualities, having no qualities, being beyond conception and being sweet like nectar, being limited and unlimited, being far and near, being completely aloof and being completely afraid, gopis, jealous anger are simultaneously present. So if you say actually in one sense, you tell anything about Krishna, that is true. Because the converse is also true. You tell anything about Krishna, it is true. Because the converse is also true. You say Krishna is the most intelligent. Is it true or not? Is he the greatest fool? Both are contradictory. They have to coexist in him, it is true. Somebody asked me, Prabhuji, if that is the case, when I was giving a class like this, that yesterday, that based on that verse which I taught you, I forgot that. Yeah, Vidya Samanyam Tasminya Chitram. Somebody told, then asked a question, say, if Krishna is very intelligent, then he should be a big fool also. Then I told, yes. How? He's tolerating us now. Isn't it? So you find everything in Krishna. There's nothing which is not in Krishna, because if contradictions are perfectly harmonized, then everything is true with Krishna. So that is what Sripad Madhvacharya, he says, every word is a description of Krishna. Every word is a description of Krishna, actually. Every name is actually Krishna's name. Okay, so that's Vedanta. We'll just go further. These and numberless other naturally contradictory qualities happily stay together in Krishna's transcendental form, in Krishna's transcendental abode, and in Krishna's transcendental pastime. These naturally contradictory qualities help Lord Krishna's pastime, making them more beautiful and pleasing beyond human conception. Therefore, it is said that Lord's potencies are inconceivable. They're inconceivable. So, now question arises, you are telling so many things, but is this idea supported in the Veda? Is it supported? Yes. So many examples are given. These very famous examples. You all know these examples. This is accepted everywhere in the Veda, in the Shvetashvara Upanishad. Apani padau jivanu grihitva pasyatya chhu sashnu takranaha saveti vedam nachatasyasti vetta tamahur akriyam purusham mahatmyam mahantam. So now, pasyat apani padau. What happens? What is apani means what? He has no hands. Pado means? Look, he doesn't have hands and legs. Chavano grihitva. So, if you give something, what does he do? He takes it. He accepts it. And paschet achakshuhu. Achakshuhu means he doesn't have? But still he sees. Akaranaha means? Doesn't have? But still he hears. Saveti vedyam nachatasya vetta. He knows everything and nobody knows him. Tamahur argyam purusham mahantam. So he is a topmost personality, original personality, greatest personality. Going further, Ishopanishad, everybody knows this verse. Taddejati tannejati taddure tadvantike tadantarasya sarvasya tattu sarvasyasya vahyata. Taddejati means he walks and he doesn't walk. Taddure, he is very far. At the same time, Tatvantike, he is very near. Tadantrasya sarvasya, he is there in every thing. At the same time, Tattu sarvasyasya bhagyata. So, whatever you can say about Krishna, but you have to explain in a proper way. The difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis is this. Mayavadis say everything perfect about Krishna and explain in proper way. Vaishnavas, they say anything about Krishna and explain in a proper way. That is the difference. So what matters is actually explaining in a perfect way, proper way, in a proper understanding. That is more important. That is why even if you take a line from the newspaper and give a nice commentary, a Mayavadi, if he speaks Bhagavatam, he doesn't speak it in a proper way. He speaks all crap. So Vaishnava explains the newspaper also, it is perfect because he gives a very perfect understanding of what's happening in the world. So that is why it is said that Vaishnava, avaishnamukodhirnam putam harikanamrutam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishtam yatapayah. Krishna doesn't like Mayavadi's glories. Mayavadi singing his glories. But he likes what? A devotee scolding him. Do you think what kind of God we are worshipping? One person is glorifying Krishna, another person is scolding Krishna. What does Krishna like? Scolding. It is very difficult for people to digest it. Until unless devotion is manifest in the heart, these statements cannot be digested. Once I was giving a lecture in South India, in my hometown. That lecture was all about Jagannath. So the person who was translating was a Sanskrit scholar. And the principal of Sanskrit, he's a double PhD and a big personality. He gives commentaries and he gives lectures also on Vishwasaslam and all. He was translating. He knows me from my childhood only. So I was talking on Jagannath. Then I was talking about how Krishna is crying for the gopis. And he was feeling, very, very awkward to translate it. So awkward to translate. Then he told me, you see, then after some time, two, three sentences, he started mistranslating. He could not really tolerate this thing. He really could not tolerate. So he is a scholar in Sanskrit. You know, he has done PhD. He knows verses like anything. He has given more than 100 discourses on Vishnu Sahasranam. More than one month like that. Just imagine that such a personality. When I was talking about Jagannath, and Krishna is crying for the gopis, he just could not speak it out. It did not come in his mouth. And here even a kid would talk about it, isn't it? Very happily would talk. So that's called achintya. Everybody could understand achintya. Anyhow, going further, in the Ishopanishad, same thing is explained. Sapar jagat chakramakaya navranam ashtnaviram shuddhama papa vidham kavir manishi paribhu swayambhur yata totyatratam ayadhaccha shashvatibhya samabhya. A person must factually know the greatest of all, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. So there are some differences which he gives, and later on we go to another question. It's written in the Vedas that by his own will, Lord sometimes descends to the material world. Now after understanding that how the contradictory qualities are coexisting in Krishna, then the next question is about Krishna comes on his own will to this material world. Is it mentioned in the Vedas? Yes. In many places in the Kena Upanishad, in a conversation between Shiva and Uma, it said, Uma means Parvati here, it is said that Indra and demigods became very proud because they had conquered the demons. As the demigods were telling each other how wonderful they were. Each one was glorifying, you are so great, I am so great, like that. The Supreme Lord assumed a form of a form and appeared among them. The Lord appeared. Asked them, it's a very famous story, why they were so proud, and gave them a single blade of grass to burn with their power. So a blade of grass was given. Then Agni is considered to be the very important, at the same time the lowest of the demigods. They told Agni, come you burn it. Agni came, he tried to burn it. Nothing would happen. Then, it is like in this way, the Supreme Personality, who was wonderful powers, manifested his form among the demigods. Example of the mantra is given. Example of mantra from the passages came Upanishad is placed here. Tasmai truna nivadadat etad dadahi tad uparyeyaha sarvak Javena tanna shashaka dhaktum sa tata nivartet naitad shakam vignatum yadetad yaksham iti. So placing a blade of glass before him, the Supreme Lord said, burn this. With all the power, Agni attacked the blade of glass and could not burn it. Returning to the demigods, Agni said, I do not know who is this Yaksha is. He thought he's Yaksha. Supreme Lord appeared and he wrote, some Yaksha has come. The hidden meaning of this passage is the Supreme Lord is a person and with an inconceivably handsome form who by his own will descends to the material world and enjoys pastimes, the individual spirit soul. So much of description is given there, but ultimately we should know the Lord can manifest anytime, anywhere, for any purpose. His own sweet will he manifests. It is said that the Supreme Lord is the ocean of nectar, of transcendental mellow. Where is it said in the Vedas? Now you told about rasa. Where is rasa tattva in the Vedas? Yes. The Taittiriya Upanishad is clearly said, Yadvaitvam suktram raso vaisaha. Rasam hiye vayam labdha anando bhavati anandi bhavati kohiye vanyat kaha pranyat yadesa akasha anando nasyat evahi evanandyati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a reservoir of transcendental mellow. When one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure, Krishna, he actually becomes transcendentally blissful. Who could breathe without the Lord giving breath? Who could be happy without the Lord giving happiness? It is he who gives transcendental bliss. So it is clear that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead His reservoir is all pressure. Only when we come in touch with Him, then we can be blissful. So if, of course, there's a long description about establishing this point of rasa in the Vedanta Sutras. And you must have heard this Vedanta Sutra. Anandamayobhyasat. This Anandamayobhyasat, is it pertaining to Jiva? Is it pertaining to the living entity? It's a big discussion. This Ananda applies to whom? The living entity or the Jiva? Though Vaishnavacharya has established clearly that this Anandamayobhyasat is only applicable to Krishna. But when the Jiva comes in contact with Krishna, because of the extreme mercy of Krishna, He completely drowns this Jiva in Ananda. Like you have this, no? Ananda Nimanjantam Ananda Kunde. But essentially, the Supreme Lord is blissful. So, though the Supreme Lord Krishna is Sat, Chit, is there, but Ananda is an essential feature of Krishna. Why Sat Mayobhyasad is not there? Why Chit Mayobhyasad is not there? Because the essential feature of Krishna is Rasa. Essential feature of Lord is Ananda. His only one activity is to do is to seek pleasure, nothing else. Let us go further. If He has a form of nectar of bliss, why can the people of material world not see Him? The next question. The individual soul imprisoned in the material world has two kinds. One faces Krishna, other turns his back towards Krishna. The soul that turns away from Krishna cannot see Krishna's handsomeness. Instead he gazes onto the material sense objects and fixes his mind in thinking of material sense objects. The soul that turns towards Krishna turns away from the material world of Maya. He is able to see the form of Lord Krishna. So there are two kinds of souls. One, seeing Krishna. Like the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Bahirmukha. Bahirmukha means what? Krishna is there, he turns your face like this. That is called Bahirmukha. There are two. One is Bahirmukha, other is Unmukha. Sevon Mukheju Vado Swayamevi Prasrutyada. This is Unmukha. When Adas Sri Krishna Namadin Vavet Grahim Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivhado Swayameva His Prutyadaha. Naturally, bliss will be experienced by those who are Unmukha towards Krishna in the mode of service. And those who are Bahirmukha, what is the full verse? Bahirmukha. Krishna Bahirmukha Hoy Bhagavan Chakare Nikatastamaya Japatiyadare. That is what is explained here. The Vedas say the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Raso Vai Saha. The reservoir is all spiritual nectar. How do the Vedas describe the Lord's nectar, spiritual form? So is there anywhere Krishna's form is also nectar? Where is it explained? Gopal Tapane Upanishad. Gopavesham. Sat Pundarika Nayanam. Meghabham. Vaidyutambharam. Dibhujam Jnana Mudradhyam. Vanam Vanamalinam Ishwaram. So the form is described. Gopal Tapanishad. Sat Pundarika Nayanam. He's got what kind of eyes? Lotus eyes. Meghabham Vaidyutambharam. What kind of clothes he's wearing? Hello? Clothes, shining garments. Complexion is what? Meghabham. His complexion is dark clouds. Dibhujam Jnana Mudradhyam. Dibhujam, he has got two hands. Sometimes his Jnana Mudra. He is holding this transcendental knowledge, this Jnana Mudra. And then Vanamalinam Ishwaram, he is the Supreme Lord. He is wearing garlands, the forest flowers. What method may a human being adopt to understand Him? The Brahmanas cannot understand Him and neither can Chandalas understand Him. What method should one adopt in order to understand Him? It is very difficult to know how to please Him. So, Katha Upanishad. Tamatmastam yenu paschanti dhiras tesham shantim shanti shashvati netresham. Only saintly persons who can see Him within and without, the same Supreme Lord, can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace. Now, he goes further. They who see the Supreme Lord within the heart attain eternal peace. However, The method should one should adopt to see the Lord in this way. That's what I would like to see. That's what I would like to understand. I don't understand. Now, Kathopanishad, very famous verse. I think devotees should know these words very nicely. Nayam atma pravachanena labdhyo Nayame dhasha na bhuna shutena Yamye vaishrunate tena labhyas Tasye vatva vrunate tanum swam. He cannot be attained by big lectures. Name dasha, not by great intelligence. Na bhuna shutena, I have memorized all the Vedas. Not by that. Who can attain Krishna? Only when he, M.A. Vaishya Vrunite, only when he selects. Thus says, so for him, the Lord completely reveals himself. Famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Athapite deva padam bhujadvaya prachadalesha nagrihita evahi chanaditattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyadeko pichiram vichinnam. Athapite deva padambujaya prasada. Prasada means mercy. Lesha, little bit of mercy. Anugrahita evahi. If one is favored even by the slightest trace of the mercy of the lotus feet of the Lord, he can understand the greatness of the Supreme Personality of God. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanati tattam bhagavan mahimno na chanyad eko picharam vichinvan, those who speculate, they cannot know. Even though they continue study of Vedas for many years, they cannot know. Baba, our Lord is very merciful. The Lord of our hearts is Krishna. Simply by studying and understanding scripture, one does not attain him. Simply by being very intelligent or studying from my many teachers, one does not attain. Only to say that who Krishna is my Lord, does the Lord Krishna mercifully reveals his eternal spiritual form of knowledge and bliss. Think about it and you will easily understand it. So you go on saying Krishna, 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 you will get it. Otherwise, very difficult. Once, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told that the greatest Vedanti is one who studies the entire Vedanta and then at the end he cries, "Oh Krishna, I am not understanding." He is the greatest Vedanti. One Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he made all these sannyasi disciples, very intelligent, very scholars, great scholars. All are Sanskrit panditas. So he asked them to write an article on Vedanta Sutras. So they had made big articles, all written in Sanskrit, very scholarly presented. He got all the articles piled up, all the sannyasis were sitting. Then he called the cook. Then the cook came and told, "Yes, Maharaj, what seva?" He told, "You correct these papers." Then he was like shivering, "What is this going on?" I don't even know proper Bengali, what to speak of Sanskrit. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told, "It's very easy." Whoever has written the most times Krishna's name, so many marks they will get. If somebody has written 80 times, 80%, 80 marks, only 60 does it. So be very careful. That is what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says. That here, only one who says, "Oh Krishna, Krishna is my Lord," does Krishna, Lord Krishna mercifully reveal his spiritual form, knowledge and bliss. Think about it, you will easily understand it. Now, Rajanath is anything written in the Vedas about Lord Krishna's spiritual abode? Now comes to abode, because until this, all Samvit, Sandini, Haladini had to be discussed. Now here, the Sardini Shakti's question is coming up. It is described in many places. In some places it is called Paramyoma. It is sometimes called Samvyoma. And some places known as Brahma Gopala Puri. And other places known as Gokula. It is described in these words in the Shvetashvara Upanishad. So, it gives a very interesting details from the Shvetashvara Upanishad where Paramyoma is described. In the Mundaka Upanishads, it is described about Brahma Puri. And in the Purusha Bodhini Upanishad, Gokula is described. Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Gopalapuri has been described. So it is not that in the Vedic literatures and Upanishads, you don't have the names given to the spiritual world. Yes, it is there. Going further, Rajanath. tantric brahmanas say that the potency of Lord Shiva is Adya Shakti. What do you say about it? Now, tantric brahmanas and many people, those who are Shaivas, they address Durga as Adi Parashakti. And many, many glorifications about Durga in the Vedic literatures, they talk about Adi Parashakti. Now, this Durga is also, many devotees ask this question, when comes a situation, who is that Durga? Some people say it's Yogamaya, some people say Durga, 8 forms it took, what is this? It's a very close connection between Srimati Radharani and Durga. Because of their close connection, there is a confusion. So let us see, that whole confusion is cleared in this particular paragraph. The potency of Lord Shiva is Maya Shakti. From Maya, the three modes, material modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, and manifest. The Brahmanas are in mode of goodness. They purely worship Goddess Maya, who is the origin of material goodness. Those in mode of passion worship Goddess Maya as mother of mode of passion. Those who have taken shelter of mode of ignorance worship Maya as Goddess Vidya, the control mode of binding darkness. In truth, Maya is the transformation, the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya is not a separate potency. Maya is a shadow or reflection of the Supreme Lord's original spiritual potency. So Maya imprisons the conditioned souls and she also sets them free. Persons averse to Lord Krishna, she imprisons in the material world and punishes. Persons who are favorably inclined to Lord Krishna, she places in the mode of goodness and gives them knowledge of Krishna. Persons shackled and imprisoned by Maya cannot see that Maya herself is a reflection of the Supreme Lord's original potency. It is these persons who claim that Maya is Adya Shakti. A person bewildered by Maya may reach the right conclusion if he has performed many pious deeds. One who has not performed pious deeds will not. So, one point is very clear. Maya is nothing but she is a shadow of the Chit Shakti of Krishna. She is definitely not the shadow of Krishna. Chayaiva Yasya. Yesterday we discussed about this point. How she is not the shadow of Krishna. She is the shadow of the Chit potency of Krishna. Okay. Prachanath. Among the servants of Lord Krishna and Gokula, is mentioned sometimes Durga Devi. Who is that Durga? Okay, now comes. Now who is that Durga in past tense of Krishna? Yogamaya. She is Yogamaya. She is a seed that grows into the changed form accepted by the Chit Shakti spiritual potency. More clear, she stays in the spiritual world. And there she is considered identical with Lord's internal potency. It is by her power that the Lord's spiritual potency is reflected by the material, as the material potency. Now, Srimati Radharani, she is like completely engrossed in giving bliss to Krishna. Now, who is going to manage the entire thing? That is done by Yogamaya. So, sometimes Yogamaya is mistaken as Radharani, Radharani is mistaken as Yogamaya. But Yogamaya is a very, very special potency who is working behind the scene. Is behind the scene, like as you have the Yogamaya temple in near Sevakunj. It's a very important temple. Generally, according to Vedic system, the southwest position is manager's position. Southwest position, they sit and manage everything. So, at that place, she's manning entire, all the pastimes. Even to such an extent, even the reflection of or the chaya of the Chit Shakti to be Durga, that is also done by this Durga of the spiritual world, that is Yogamaya. The Durga of the material world is a maidservant of her. Yogamaya is a Durga of the spiritual world. So, sometimes if Yogamaya is addressed as Durga, there is no point. There is no flaw. Because she is a Durga of the spiritual world. Now, when who was born to Yashoda? Yogamaya was born to Yashoda. So, Nandamara, when our Vasudev, he took Yogamaya and brought to Mathura and Devaki. But when Kamsa came and pulled from Devaki's hand, who came there into Kamsa's hand? Durga came. Yogamaya cannot be touched by Kamsa. So that is why people get confused. They think Durga was born to Yashoda, or Kamsa hand Yogamaya was there. No. From Kamsa's hand who came? Durga came. 800 forms she took. She flew telling Kamsa, Ashtamo Garbho, 8th Garbha. You're the person who is supposed to kill you is being born somewhere else. He is being brought up somewhere else. And she went and flew. They say she flew and fell in Kanyakumari. That is where she is there. At Durga. Waiting for Lord Shiva to come. Get married to her. Something like that. Some story is there. That how she flew all the way from Kamsa. And then went to Kanyakumari. Tip of South India. Anybody been to Kanyakumari? Okay. She is there. You can talk her. How, what all she spoke to Kamsa and all. So. That's a, it's a very amazing point. That how. Kamsa is actually a personality of the material world, influenced by the modes. He cannot touch Yogamaya. So, what is the form which came into Kamsa's hand is Durga, not Yogamaya. But who is born to Krishna is Yogamaya. And one of the acharyas explains a great rasa form, and he says that Krishna is a baby, small baby in the stomach. He doesn't know even how to come out. He doesn't know how to come out. It's Yogamaya managed everything. So, anyway, so many things can be talked about it. So, where is this? Spiritual world, she makes the nectar of the Lord's pastime, convincing, sorry. She is Yogamaya. She is a seed that grows into the changed form accepted by the Chit Shakti. She stays in the spiritual world, and there she is considered identical with Lord's internal potency. It is by her power that Lord's spiritual potency is reflected as material potency, Maya. Durga of the material world is a maidservant of her, Yogamaya, who is Durga of the spiritual world. This spiritual Durga assists in Krishna's spiritual pastimes. Manifested as Yogamaya in the spiritual world, she makes the nectar of Lord Krishna's pastimes, convincing the gopis that they are married to others and Krishna is their paramour. Parakya Bhava. She also arranges for Lord's Rasalila pastimes as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 29th chapter, talks about Rasa Panchayat's first verse itself. First chapter itself. Now Krishna, Rantum, he was like thinking, oh, I want to enjoy. But how can I enjoy? The only person who can actually help me in arranging this Rasila is Yogamaya. Yogamaya upashritaha. So in this way, Krishna took shelter of Yogamaya. It is she who arranged entire Rasila. The meaning of statements is this. Among the many spiritual pastimes arranged by Lord's internal potency are some activities that seem to be situated in ignorance. Although in truth they are not situated in ignorance at all. When these activities that superficially appear to be situated in ignorance are useful to make the nectar of Lord Krishna's pastimes sweeter, Yogamaya arranges that they are manifest. In this way, the nectar of Lord's pastime is understood. Okay, I wish to understand something about the spiritual about Dhamma of the Lord. Please be kind and explain this to me. Why do Vaishnavas use the word Sri Dham in relation to Navadvip? No. Sri Navadvip Dham and Vrindavan Dham are non-different. This Mayapur is the highest spiritual abode. Sri Mayapur is to Navadvip what Gokula is to Raja. Mayapur is the holiest place in Navadvip. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Channa Kalo. On the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself. In the age, that age, your incarnation is in. It's Prahlad Maharaj's thing. When Prahlad Maharaj prays this thing, Channa Kalo. Prahlad Maharaj prays only, no? Yeah. Ittham. What is that verse? Full verse? Yeah, this is Bhagavatam 7th chapter, 9th. 7th canto, 9th chapter, 38, you can see. Prahlad Maharaj prayers only, it comes. As the Supreme Lord's incarnation is hidden in the age of Kali, so the Supreme Lord's abode, so Navadvip is also hidden. In the age of Kali, there is no holy place like Navadvip. A person who understands the spiritual nature of Navadvip has become qualified to reside in the spiritual world of Raja. So until unless we understand Navadvip, it is very difficult to stay in Raja. We don't become qualified. Material eyes see Vraja and Navadvip both as material places, made of five material elements. Only persons who have become fortunate to have their spiritual life opened are able to see the truth of these holy abodes. I wish to know the truth about Sri Navadvip Dham. He says, I want to know about Navadvip Dham, Goloka, Vrindavan and Shetadipa. This word Shetadipa comes. Now, many people say, where this word Navadvip appears in Vedic literatures. The term Navadvip appears in the Vedic literatures by the name as Shvetadvipa. Bhaje Shvetadvipam tamahamiham golokamitiyam vidantaste santakshiti virlachara hagadipaye. In that, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur specifically says, this Shvetadvipa is Navadvip. So in Goloka, Vrindavan and Shvetadvipa are the names of the innermost places in the spiritual world. In Goloka, Lord's Swakya pastimes are manifest. In Vrindavan, the Parakya pastimes are manifest. In Shvetadvipa, other pastimes are manifest. Gokula, Vrindavan and Shvetadvipa are different in nature. Sri Navadvipa is thereafter not different from Shvetadvipa and Vrindavan. The residents of Navadvipa are most fortunate. They are eternal associates of Gauranga. It is because in their past life they performed many pious deeds. They are able to reside in Navadvip. The transcendental mellow rasa that was not revealed in Vrindavan has been revealed in Sri Navadvip. When a person becomes qualified, he is able to taste the sweetness of those mellows. Rajanath, what is the size of Navadvip Dham? The circumference of Navadvip Dham is 16 koshas, 32 miles. The holy abode of Navadvip is 8 petal lotus flower. 8 of the deepas from 8 petals. And the island in the middle is the whole of the lotus. 8 islands that are petals of the lotus are Simantadip, Godurandip, Madhyadip, Koradip, Rutudip, Janudip, Madhundandip, and Rudadip. The whole is the middle of the lotus is Antardip. In the middle of Antardip is Mayapur, a soul who performs sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice in Navadvip Dham, or especially in Mayapur, quickly attains perfection, prema, love of God. In the center of Navadvip Dham is the very holy place of Jagannath Mishra's home. The most fortunate devotees are able to see Lord Gauranga enjoying eternal pastimes in that place. Rajana, does the Lord internal potency arrange Lord Gauranga's pastimes also? Yes. As Krishna's pastimes are arranged by the internal potency, so Lord Gauranga's pastimes are also arranged in the same way. There is not the slightest difference between Lord Krishna and Lord Gauranga. In his notebook, Swarup Damodar Goswami has explained very famous verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shaktirasmat Ekatmano Bhuvipura Deha Vedam Gatautau Chaitanyakyam Prakadamadhunata Dvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhavaditi Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. So, the essential meaning is this Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Hladini Shaktirasmat. So, the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna are the transformation of Haladini Shakti. Whereas, Ekatmano, they are one, but still, Ekatmano, Bhuvipura Deha Vedam Gatavato, they are manifest in front of us as two. Chaitanya Akim, Adhuna, what has happened? They become one. Prakatam, then they are known as Chaitanya Akim, Prakatam Adhuna, Tadvahim Chaikyanapu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know very well that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna took the mood of Radharani, along with the duty or the bodily lustre of Radharani. Suvalitan Naomi Krishna Swarupa means Krishna Swarupa. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, both are manifest eternally. No one has the power to say which of them came first and which second. It cannot be said Lord Chaitanya is manifest first and Lord Krishna manifested later. Neither can be said Radha and Krishna were manifested first and Lord Chaitanya manifested later. The truth is Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sri Radha Krishna both exist eternally. In the pastime of Supreme, the pastimes of Supreme are eternal. A person who thinks that of the pastime and the Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, the pastimes of Radha Krishna, the pastimes of one is more important, the pastime of other is less important, does not understand the truth. He does not understand the nectar of Lord's pastimes. So these things are very well known to you. So if Sri Gauranga is original form, Supreme Personality, then how should one worship him? As one worship Lord Krishna by chanting the holy names and mantras of Lord Krishna, so one should worship Gaura by chanting the names and mantras of Gauranga. One may worship Lord Gaura by chanting Krishna mantra, and for that matter, one may worship Krishna by chanting Gaura mantra. They are all the same. Anyone who thinks Lord Krishna and Gauranga are different is a fool, is a servant of Kali. You know why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described so much here? Jodi Gauru na hoito, tabe ki hoito, Radhara Mahima, Premara Shoshima, Jagato Janatake. So Radhara Mahima, Premara Sashima, Rasabdhim. Krishna is Rasabdhim, is explained by whom? Chaitanya. So if you want to know Krishna is Rasabdhi, you have to take shelter of Chaitanya. So here he goes. If Chaitanya is hidden, Channa incarnation described in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how are there any mantras to worship him? Babaji says, the tantras that openly give mantras for worshipping openly manifest incarnations of the Lord's secretly revealed the mantras for worshipping the secret, hidden incarnation of the people. People whose intelligence is not crooked can understand the presence of these mantras. How does one worship the divine couple, Radha Krishna, while one is engaged in worshipping Gauranga? There are two ways one may worship the divine couple, Radha Krishna, while one is engaged in worshipping Gauranga. The two ways are Archana, other is Bhajan Marga. In the path of Archana Marga, one worship Gaur Vishnu Priya. In the path of Bhajan Marga, one worship Gaur Gadadhar. So once this question was asked to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. What is the difference between worship of Radha Krishna or worship of Gaur Nitai and Gaur Gadadhar? Then he told Four Anas difference. Charana means not much. Not much. The only thing is that if you are in sadhana stage, you worship Gaur Nitai. In Raga stage, you will worship Gaur Gadadhar. That is the only difference. So, you don't have to get confused. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. Bhaja Gaur Gadadhar Punja Vidam, like nice bhajan is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's is Gaur Gadadhar deities. Very few are there Gaur Gadadhar deities. Which potency of Lord Gauranga is Sri Vishnu Priya? Generally, devotees say that she is Lord's Bhu Shakti. So, Vishnu Priya is a very, because we are talking about rasa, we should talk about Vishnu Priya also a little bit. Not very elaborately, which is described to such an extent, the acharyas, they tried to hide Vishnu Priya. Radharani is glorified in many scriptures. As much as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hidden in the scriptures, Vishnu Priya is also hidden. Prabodhananda Saraswati clearly says, Vishnu Priya is Bhu Shaktim. Maya, Navadvipa Vasinim, there is a mantra glorifying the Bhu Shakti. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says no. He says, generally devotees say she is Bhu Shakti, but the truth is that she is Samvit Shakti accompanied with the essence of Faladini Shakti. This means that she is the goddess of devotion, Bhakti Devi. And during Gauranga's advent, she comes to help him preach the glories of the holy name. Just imagine. We know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? Took sannyas. Tell me, whom he can take sannyas from? He can only take sannyas only when he is married to someone. Isn't it? When he is married to someone. He is not married to Radharani. And do you think Krishna dare take sannyas from Radharani? No. But he has to preach Krishna consciousness. What to do? And that is a special sacrifice Vishnu Priya Devi has done. So that is why the technicality of Vishnu Priya Devi is being described in scriptures in our Gaudiya literatures in such a way that she, her devotion, there are no words to describe. we find in Gambira, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is crying in separation from Krishna. There, Swarup Damodara is there, and Ramananda Rai. Swarup Damodara, Ramananda Rai, who are they? Lalita Vishakha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. See, they are consoling Radharani. So, in Gaur Gambira, they are at least somebody to come and console. But Vishnupriya Gambira, who is there? Only constant cries. So just imagine, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is experiencing separation from Krishna. And Vishnupriya is experiencing what? Separation from the separation personified. Isn't it? Who can describe? Who can describe? No descriptions. So that is why only little description is given here. Vishnupriya. She is Bhakti Devi. That means she is a goddess of devotion, Bhakti Devi. And during Gauranga's advance, she comes to help preach the glories. You don't find Vishnupriya is helping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By allowing Chaitanya to take sannyas, she has helped. As the nine islands of Navadvip Dham embodied the nine kinds of devotional service, so Srimati Vishnupriya is also nine kinds of devotion service personified. Can it be said that Vishnupriya is Lord's internal potency? How can there be any doubt about it? Is not internal potency Swarup Shakti the same as Samvit accompanied by Haladini, essence of Haladini? Just and goes further. O Master, soon I will learn the proper way to worship Gaura. But my question has another, but now a question has entered my mind. The Chit Shakti, Jiva Shakti, and Maya Shakti are manifest from Lord's internal potency Swarup Shakti. And Haladini Shakti, Samvit Shakti are also manifest from internal potency. All that is done is apparently done by Lord's potencies. The spiritual world, spiritual body, spiritual relations, spiritual pastimes, all manifested by Lord potencies. That's Krishna, the master of all this, has to do something. Everything is done by potency. Does he do something or not? Ultimately, everything is done by them only. All the potencies. What does he do? He's jobless. As I told, there's one verse which came, Natasya Karyam. Initially, that is the first thing we started, isn't it? The whole problem started with that verse. Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidhyate, Natat Samasya Bhyatikascha Tadrishyate, Palasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, Subhaviki Jnana Valakriyacha. Everything automatically happens. Well, what does he do? What does Krishna do? Initially, when I told, he has no work. But he has, if at all, his own work, he has only one work. Enjoy. And how he enjoys what he desires. Isn't it? So desiring and enjoying is only his work. That is what is described here. Then Baba says, that's a difficult question you asked. Are you trying to attack an old man with arrows of logical puzzles? But the question is simple. And it is simple. There is a simple answer. Still, it is hard to find a person qualified to understand the simple answer in this question. Actually, you know, the most difficult thing Krishna does. What is the most? Not to do anything. You ask a person, sit down and don't do anything. The most difficult thing is that. So, still it's hard to find a person qualified to understand the simple answer to this question. I'll speak. You please try to understand my words. Not Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes are all manifested by his potencies. Still Krishna's supreme independence and his desire are not manifested by potencies. What are two things? Independence and desire. They are part of his nature. They are manifested by his supreme personality, God alone. Lord Krishna can do anything he wishes. He is a shelter of all potencies. Krishna is enjoyer. His potencies are enjoyed by him. Krishna is independent. His potencies are dependent on him. And at every turn, the independent supreme personality of God is surrounded by his potencies. Still, he remains always perfect and always independent. Although he is always surrounded by his potencies, he is always their master. Human beings understand the supreme. They must do it through the aid of Lord's potencies. Therefore, it is hard for them to understand that the Supreme Lord is the master of all potencies. And he is actually beyond the influence of his potencies. However, a devotee who has attained love for the Lord can directly see the Supreme Lord is the master of all potencies. And is beyond their influence. Devotional service he is one of the Lord's potencies and therefore he is feminine in nature. Following the Lord's internal potency, the potency of devotional service can bring one to the position where one can directly perceive the masculine nature of Krishna, the independent, self-willed, supreme male. If at all Krishna has got anything, he only does one thing. What is it? He is independent and he desires. Desires what? Enjoyment. So, if he is independent, so who are dependent on him? All the potencies are dependent on him. If he desires, who fulfills the desires? The potencies fulfill the desires. So these potencies are dependent and they fulfill the desire of Krishna. So if they are dependent, Krishna is independent. And if they are fulfilling the desire, Krishna is having desires. Now, last question. If there is a being beyond the influence of the potencies, that being must be impersonal Brahman described in the Upanishads. Again, the impersonal Brahman described in the Upanishads has no desires. This is the problem with them. The Purusha described in the Upanishads is Lord Krishna, supreme male. He is filled with desires because Upanishads say the Lord is independent. Brahman is independent. But the Brahman has no desires. He is filled with desires. These two are different in many ways. Impersonal Brahman has no qualities. Krishna, completely independent, has potencies, has a host of qualities. They are part of his character as a supreme male, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme independent being. In truth, Krishna and his potencies are not different. The potencies that allow us to see Krishna is also Krishna himself. Why not? Krishna's beloved, his potency Shrimati Radha, is feminine. Sri Radha is the most exalted potency. She serves Krishna and Krishna also serves her. They worship each other. And in this way, they are different from each other. If the fact that Krishna's desires and enjoyment are proof of his masculine nature, then how is it Radha has desires and still feminine nature? Radha and gopis, they also have desires. Srimati Radharani's desires are subordinate to Krishna's desire. She never desires anything or does anything that has no relationship with Krishna. Whatever Krishna desires, she desires. She desires to serve Krishna, that is Radha's desire. Radha is Purna Shakti, Radhya Shakti. Krishna is supreme male. He is a master and controller of these potencies. Now this conversation, at this point the conversation, Vayana took permission to depart. After offering dandavat obeisances to Saint Babaji, Rajanath happily returned to his home in Bilva Pushkarani. Seeing that day by day he is changing, now there was a fear in the heart of his grandmother. His grandmother said, "Hey, it's time for you to get married." Rajanath would not listen to her. Day and night, he thought about what the saintly Babaji was teaching him, thinking, "The teachings are very pleasing to my heart. Now I'll hear more and more teachings. Sweet like nectar." He happily went to Shiva's courtyard again. So what happens next day? So till now, Krishna's three aspects are described. Is Paratattva. Number two is Sarvashakti. And then Rasabdhim. Now there are three features of the living entity. The Jivatattva and the Baddha Jiva. And the Mukta Jiva. These three we will try to discuss in the next session. The notes are already there with you. And tomorrow we will finish the other features as much as possible. Let's see. Krishna willing. We can do it. So, you may be feeling that we don't have enough time for questions. I have given the freedom to ask questions in the middle, anytime. Or if you have some questions, you can ask. Anyway, it's all question answers only. We are not doing anything special here. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anyway, in rasa, what question can be there? Only in tattva you have questions. Okay, so we'll meet at 3:30 after lunch.